Hello at Marketing for Changemakers, the podcast for all social entrepreneurs who want to learn how to become successful in marketing and at the same time be transparent, honest, and sustainable. You want to have an impact and change the world with your business? Everyone should learn about your project. With Marketing for Changemakers, I will support you in all these questions. I will provide you with a lot of tips, insights, and ideas and show you how to create a successful marketing strategy that fits your sustainable business. My name is Ina, and I'm happy that you will listen to my podcast. Thank you so much. Hey, Leslie. Thank you very much for being in my podcast episode today. I'm very much looking forward to talk to you about the challenges of social entrepreneurs and how they can leverage their impact. But before we get started, can you maybe give me a short introduction about your person and about your business background?
So my name is Leslie Ng, and I'm a mindset and business coach for ecopreneurs and conscious entrepreneurs. I work mostly with new and aspiring entrepreneurs to get clarity around their business vision and craft a unique and powerful marketing plan. So I help people build these very purpose, cause-driven businesses. And I'm passionate about sustainability and empowering women to create these businesses. I see so many, a lot of moms, not necessarily moms, but a lot of women who want to build sustainable, ethical businesses. And so I help them do that.
Great. Since when are you doing this? And maybe you can give some more insights on your clients. Are they based around the world globally, or are you focusing on a specific niche or a specific industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I coach both actually service entrepreneurs as well as product-based entrepreneurs. I've worked with people in the life coaching field, marketing, branding coaches. I've worked with ethical fashion brands. So I work with both product and service-based entrepreneurs. The main piece is, and I mostly work with women, I guess.
Me as well. But I recently read in a survey that when it comes to purpose-driven businesses, social entrepreneurship, like it's mainly women that are starting a purpose-driven business.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and I think it's because it comes from a more values-based type of motivation. And a lot of that, from the people that I've worked with anyways, have come from that in terms of also wanting to build a bit of a more ethical, sustainable future for their children as well too. And so I just find that that's who I work with primarily and focus on.
So it sounds like you work with a lot of different clients so far. So I think you might give us a little insight on typical challenges those entrepreneurs are facing or your clients, recent clients are facing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of the challenges, there's the marketing side of things. There's also the mindset side of things and the operational side of things. And I never really thought that the mindset piece would be such a big piece of being an entrepreneur, but it is what I work with my clients on quite a bit as well too. And specifically to the ecopreneur or eco-entrepreneur is that there's this feeling of needing to be perfect and guilt and the feeling that you might be hypocritical if you're putting a product out there that's not like absolutely perfect, perfectly 100% biodegradable, organic, or what have you, right? So there's that perfection piece that we really need to kind of overcome because it's just about starting and putting steps in place to get to that that dream of 100% whatever. But that perfection piece holds people back quite a bit, and that guilt piece of feeling like you don't have the absolute perfect eco product out there.
Yeah, that's actually something that I also face a lot with the clients I'm working with, especially as when it comes to marketing. And I realize that a lot with clients or also other social entrepreneurs, they have we build a very
strong strategy, but if they bring it to practice, the marketing strategy, sometimes they still struggle because the mindset is not on the right level already, and they're facing a lot of fears. They may be afraid to step out and show the world their business or their project, and they don't feel comfortable about it. And then, of course, the best marketing strategy won't work. So it's mindset is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I don't know if it's just because there's this moral feeling of wanting to do good and be perfect in every way. And, you know, and that really holds people back, I think, right? Sure. As an ecopreneur. And so it is one of the things that I think more specifically ecopreneurs struggle with.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing too, and you were talking about other challenges, one of the other challenges I see too is that lack of clarity around the problem you're solving. So a lot of times, if you're just trying to come out there with a good cause, like, oh, I want to build a business that has a really good cause, well, that's great, but you kind of still need to have a problem you're solving. You need to have really good clarity around what your product is the solution for, right? And what that offers people. So it's not, you can't just kind of come out with a great big mission that you want to improve and create for the world. You actually still have to lead with a really good product, whether it's a service or a physical product. It still needs to solve a real problem for people.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are lacking to really get into the conversation with their target group and with their potential customers to find out what their needs are and what their pain points and their real problems are. And maybe this is also connected to the mindset topic as well, because they want to create something that is perfect before they step out and talk to their customers. But I think it goes hand in hand, probably.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't know. There's this, I don't know if it's the fear of actually talking to your customer or just assuming that you know what they want. And I think there's a big miss there, right? Because people aren't just attracted just to your mission. You need to actually still address their pain points and all of that. The other thing too that I think that eco-entrepreneurs face is around that sourcing piece and that operational piece where, you know, things are just maybe more expensive to source if you're looking for that specific certification on a particular material or ingredient that you're using, or, you know, that eco-friendly material. It's just maybe sometimes more expensive to source, and it's also more expensive to source in small batch, right? So that's just another inherent challenge that ecopreneurs face.
How do you help your customers to overcome those challenges? Do you have a strategy for it? On what of those challenges do you focus first? Can you maybe give some practical advices?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big thing is that I like to lay the foundation of is that mindset piece, number one, right? Because there's always going to be those ups and downs. And if we don't build that resilient, unshakable mindset, it makes it really hard to overcome some of those challenges. And then we focus too much on trying to be perfect instead of just trying to get out there and get some action happening.
Yeah.
So that mindset piece is fundamental and it's foundational. And I do a lot of work in terms of helping clients just feel confident and reaffirm what they are really capable of and what their full potential is, right? So that's what we focus on to create that strong foundation. And then all these other pieces are just additional strategies or tactics that you would then figure out which one would be the best fit for that business.
Thank you very much for sharing. And as I mentioned in the beginning, we also want to talk a little bit about how you can leverage your impact as a social entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I think for social entrepreneurs and purpose-driven businesses, this is key to create more impact and also to maybe think impact differently. We were already talking about it last time we had a little call in previous to this podcast episode, and we're talking about what else you can do than just giving money to charity or to organizations, how you can create impact beyond this topic. So what
absolutely
are you advising to your customers, or what do, maybe you have some examples of businesses that do something differently than just giving away money, or how they can increase their impact?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I'd kind of like to think about impact in a few different ways. And then we talk about how to create impact. So I think impact can be created in three different ways. So number one is money, because money is a resource and an energy flow. And if we can choose how we direct it, we can create impact in that way. So of course, our businesses need to be profitable. We need to be able to make an income so that we can continue to be sustainable in our businesses, and so that we can give back in different ways and not necessarily just by donating. And I'll talk a little bit more in a second. But we can also create impact by using our voice and raising it for causes that we care about and inspiring others to make that change. So we do that by making sure that we are growing our platform so that we can amplify our voice. And I think this is also sometimes an underlooked way to create impact, is that you can actually use your voice as well too. And then the third way, of course, is then directly in your business as part of your business model. And I talk about these four different types of impact business models. So one obviously is donating for impact, whether you're donating a portion of your sales or a portion of your time or skills. The second could be sourcing for impact. So that's where you're obviously sourcing from specific vendors that are aligned with your values. And then you can also employ people for impact. So that's a third way that you can have impact.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can design your product specifically for that specific community that you want to impact. So the specific group of people whose lives you kind of want to change, you can design your product specifically for that. So when I talk about creating impact with my clients, I talk about those three ways to create impact. And then we talk about the how, the like specific business model you might want to use to create impact. And that in turn also creates opportunities to talk about your impact in your marketing, right? So, so I talk about, and so I help my clients figure out what type of impact specifically they want to make. So who is that community of impact? Who's that group of people you want to impact? Whose lives do you want to change? And then separately, who are your customers, right? Because they can be different. And then we talk about how we want to make that impact. So is it donating? Is it employing? Is it through sourcing? Is it through designing your product, right? And in those, you have different leverage points for your marketing as well too.
Yeah. And when it comes to a business that is just starting out and like a social business, and they want to implement the impact factor right from the beginning, what would you advise them? So where should they start? Where should they focus on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that, like I said, you really want to get clear on who it is you're trying to impact, and then who are your customers. And then you want to get really clear on what sort of impact you want to see. And it will be different depending on the type of business that you are. But focusing only on one specific way to create impact first, so whether it's sourcing, whether it's through designing your product, donating, or employing, choose one to start with. It's probably overwhelming to build all of that into your business right now. Just choose one.
I think so as well.
Exactly. And I think it's, I think obviously for service-based businesses, donating time, money, skills is the most obvious way to get started. Whereas when you're a product-based business, I think sourcing becomes one of the primary aspects that you think about
in terms of how to create impact.
Yeah, it was a good point right now. I mean, you mentioned product-based businesses. I mean, we have product-based businesses, we have service-based businesses. Where do you see the differences between those two types when it comes to creating impact? I mean, obviously for product-based businesses, it's a little bit easier, but what options do service-based businesses have to create impact more than just donating money?
Yeah, totally. And I think the piece that's missed, and I talked about it a little bit, is that just ability to actually use your platform and your voice as a way to create impact. So helping to educate your customers around that mission that you have and that cause that you have and why that's important and what kind of impact they have by working with you. So beyond donating, service-based businesses have that opportunity to use their voice. And also their skills. Like, that's a huge thing that sometimes I don't think we hear enough about or talk enough about as a way to actually give back as well, too. So it's beyond money. It's that skills piece. It's your time to help another organization in support of your cause.
Do you have some examples of maybe your clients or also other social businesses that are doing very well with implementing impact or creating impact?
My client is doing a great job in terms of she's incorporating impact in terms of sourcing and in terms of employing, because she's started a beautiful fashion brand that employs women who need a leg up and teaches them these skills as well of sewing as well as giving them a job and an opportunity. And then she's also sourcing from very neat, like vintage, sustainable fabrics. So it's kind of a neat combination of incorporating all those different areas that you can have an impact in. You know, I don't have a specific other example but I do really like this one example that I've talked about before in my business. It's Allbirds. They're not a client of mine, but I really like them. It's a eco-friendly shoe company in the US, and they made their first shoe out of merino wool from New Zealand. And their message or their marketing is really quite fun and interactive. Their website has these sheep on it, and you can dive into different aspects and follow the sheep that made your shoe, per se. It's obviously not the sheep, but it's a very cute picture of a sheep, and you're kind of drawn in. It just is this nice interactive storytelling piece. And so they do a really good job with using their platform to educate the customer, bring the customer in, and then tell them about the impact that they're making. So they're kind of trying to create these sustainably sourced shoes.
Thank you for sharing this example. I will also link it in the show notes so that everyone who's interested can easily find it and check out the website.
Yeah, you could follow your little sheep around. It's very cute.
So for eco-entrepreneurs and social entrepreneurs, it's also very important to influence their customers, as you also mentioned, through educating them. What do you think, how can those entrepreneurs influence their customers to make better decisions when it comes, like more conscious decision when it comes to purchasing? You have any advice on this?
I mean, it really, I think, is about not worrying about being perfect. Don't worry about being perfect. Don't worry about not having the perfect product yet or the, you know, it's about telling people about that story and bringing them into that journey that you're taking, because the challenges are important. The challenges are what we all need to collectively be aware of and then work on. So I love this one example because this one company had to explain, and it's about using storytelling. We all know about the power of storytelling. And this company had to recall one of their products. It was a skincare product. And they had switched to a vegan formulation, but then they had to switch back to a beeswax formulation, which was non-vegan. And the reason being was that the carnauba wax that was in the
vegan formulation, they found that there was quite a damage to the environment through the harvesting process and also poor working conditions. And so they didn't just tell people that, okay, we had to switch back to this vegan formulation because, you know, the carnauba wax kind of hardens up and doesn't work as well. But we made that decision because of X, Y, and Z, because of poor working conditions, because of poor harvesting practices. And so that challenge is important because the journey or the customer learns about the challenges of sourcing. And then they also get connected to what the brand is trying to do so that, you know, when the decision is made, we have to go back to a non-vegan formulation. Okay. All right. I understand why that was, and I'm okay with it because you've just told me about all the challenges, what you've considered in making that decision, and why you've made that decision. So it's really about just telling that story and being really transparent about what some of the challenges are. That's how you're going to educate your customers as well, too. Like, I didn't really realize that there was such a poor harvesting practice and such poor working conditions for harvesting or using carnauba wax, right? So it brings people in on that journey. And yep. And that's how I think we can educate people and get people to make more conscious decisions.
Yeah, I'm totally on your page when it comes to this topic. And I think it is so important to be transparent and to really take your customers and your audience by the hand and really educate them and show them what is going on in your business. And especially when it comes to those, let's say, problems, that you are transparent and honest about it and really explain them why it is like this. I think there are so many, especially big companies, that are doing a very shitty job when it comes to this. Yeah. And so there's so many manipulation around. So I think it is so important, especially as social entrepreneurs and as purpose-driven businesses, that they give a good example on how you can do it differently and how you can really see your customers as not as a target that gives you money, but as ambassadors or as partners or whatever, human beings on the same level. And for me, also a good example on this, I think I mentioned it a couple of episodes before because I really like this company, Patagonia. And they also did it a couple of years ago on Black Friday. They also did a campaign where they were educating their customers on like the downsides of Black Friday and that they should really think about when they are purchasing a product from not only Patagonia, from all other brands as well. And I think they're also doing a very good job on educating their customers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, customers are just, they're smart and they want you to give them credit for being smart. They are not, you know, they can see through any sort of greenwashing or disingenuous marketing. So you just have to be transparent and bring them on the journey, especially as brand new entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know, that fear of just being perfect, I just constantly see that holding people back. And and it's not about being perfect. It's not about putting out and only launching your business when you have that perfect product. It's really about, you know, helping people learn through your own journey.
Yeah, I think so as well. And it's so if you just focus on adding value on supporting your customers and also showing them your own personality and that you're honest with them and that you're authentic and transparent and really want to help them, I think this is so valuable. And it is not about being perfect. And I recently read about in a survey, you know, it was a study. I don't remember the right numbers, but it said it was something like 70 to 80% of customers really want or purchase products from brands they can relate to and that share the same values. And I think this is very important. And it's not about being perfect. It's just about, really connecting with your customers and with your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. That values piece is so important. And it's part of actually an exercise that I work with my clients through is just identifying the values of your brand itself, right? Because that's also really important. And that speaks to who then your customers might be.
Yeah, totally. It's also the foundation of my my coaching that I do with my clients, because it is so important. You really have to think about your values and like define a clear set of values that you also use for your business. And I think it's the key and the foundation, really. Do you have some books or other podcasts, some tools you can advise that are you using personally or business-wise, or books or podcasts you're reading or listening to that might help on this topic or the topics we were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the actual B Corp framework, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is a really useful tool in terms of looking at all the aspects that and areas in which your business might have an impact. It's a really useful tool, but I think that it can be daunting and maybe not very approachable for some of the new businesses, entrepreneurs who are like, whoa, I'm not even big enough to consider that.
Yeah, but I think it's a good tool to get familiar with what is possible. And like, if you do this right from the beginning, you already know in what direction you can grow. And I love this tool. It's great. I mean, it's also for free and it's quite fun to use it, I think. And yeah, very helpful.
Yeah, it's a really helpful tool, and I really like to refer my clients to it. But I also have a workbook that I give to my clients that helps walk through some of those pieces that I talked about in terms of identifying the kind of impact you want to make. Like, we talk a lot about impact, but I don't think we spend the time to sit down and define it. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your brand, right? Mm. So, you know, this workbook that I have, it complements what I think the B Corp tool might be, which is the details. But this just kind of walks you through the higher level piece that you can start with as a new business owner. So it's like the what does impact mean to you, and then the how are you going to make impact, and for who going to make an impact. So it kind of just walks you through some of those pieces and in with respect to those models that I just talked about as well too.
Mm. Great. And maybe some podcasts or something else you get inspiration from that you can also share?
Well, you know what? I really enjoy the Business with Purpose podcast. It's run by Molly from Simply Molly. And she's just got a lot of really interesting and inspiring entrepreneurs on there that have been doing a lot of really neat things in this social impact space. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just like to follow them just for just the variety of guests that she has there.
Great. Yeah, I will link it in the show notes as well. Thank you very much for sharing those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I always like to do in the end is asking you for a small call to action, a simple task the listeners can apply right away to their business, or when they want to start a business, what they can use to set a first intention right now. You have anything you want to share on this?
Lots probably, but I'll try and boil it down to just a couple things. So, I mean, when you're just getting started and you want to create that purpose-driven, impactful business, I think it's really important to really consider who is that community of impact? Who is that group of people you really want to impact? And then also spend some time to really consider the how you want to create an impact. And I'll leave the link to my workbook as well, too, because I think that will be a useful tool to walk people through that process. And then the other piece is just get started. I mean, I think that perfection piece holds people back too often. And so, you know, work through the impact that you want to make. Work through that workbook, because it's really helps you define what impact would be for your business. And then just get started. Like, make sure you're clear on what problem you're solving, and then just get started.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you so much for being in my episode today. I really, really appreciate it. It was so much fun for me. I learned a lot from you. Thank you for sharing your tips and advices and tools. And if you have any final words to share, feel free to do it.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really enjoyed it. I'm I'm so passionate about creating this conscious and impactful business, because I think that, you know, if we don't have a planet to live on, you know, we don't have, you know, we need to create more opportunities for women to create the impact that they want to make. And I know there's a lot of people who want to build purposeful businesses. And so we need to empower them to get that clarity and to be able to start their businesses. And it all really starts with getting out of your own way again, and getting help just to get started if that's what you need, right? So I just wanted to say thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show here today. And I hope that your listeners have gotten some value out of it.
I think so. Yeah, thank you very much. And also to everyone who was listening to today's episode, thank you very much for tuning in. And if you have any questions left, concerning me or concerning Leslie, feel free to text us, and I'm really looking forward to the next episode with you. Bye.